And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man. Just the first words of that verse. We've already heard. The Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man. Now, in the New Testament, in John's Gospel again, in chapter 3. John chapter 3. Verse 35, The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I was impressed with what Richard said to his colleague in the army when he was troubled about his soul. He said, I need to get right with God. I need to get right with God. I wonder this evening, are you right with God? Because that's what we all need to do. We all need to be right with God, not right with each other. That's good and that's helpful. But the big thing is this, getting right with God. And I believe tonight as I stand here in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three distinct persons, all who are equal. But we must get right with God. We have read of God, the Holy Spirit, says Genesis 3 and 6, 6 and 3. My spirit shall not always strive with man. We've read in John chapter 3 that the Father loveth the Son and hath committed all things into his hand. And we've read that if you're going to get right with God, here's how it happens. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. You see, if you're sitting in this meeting this evening, as we've already heard, and you're having thoughts about God, those thoughts do not come naturally. There's nothing in our heart naturally that is attracted to God. Why? Because we're born with a sinful heart that's going away from God. So what could cause us to turn around and have thoughts of God? The Holy Spirit. Now listen, it's not by chance that you're sitting listening to the gospel this evening in this meeting. Well, you say somebody has brought me. You say I got an invitation, yes. But why is that the case? Because God has moved towards you. And the gospel has come out to you. And that's only because of the grace of God. There's none of us would be here had God not loved us and sent his Son into this world to die for us. And any love I have in my heart for God this evening, I can say with John, we love him only because he first loved us. We were just guilty sinners. No difference, all have sinned. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, that's the gospel. We're back at the cross once more because, my friend, you'll never be in heaven but for this fact that God loved you and Christ died for you and went all the way to Calvary and all the way to the cross and there allowed the very creature that he made. Don't forget that the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, was present at creation. For John says in chapter 1, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, equal, coexistent, in eternity. And without him was not anything made that was made. The Lord Jesus Christ, he made man, and he made a woman. And yet, the Son of God allowed men to take him and nail him to a rugged cross I often think, you know, as the Lord Jesus, as we've been singing, lifted up was he to die. As he was lifted up on the cross, all heaven was watching. Thousands of angels ready to go to his assistance at his command, but no command ever came. Do you know why? Because he loved you and he loved me. And upon that cross, the Son of God, he suffered for the sin of the world. John could say, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." But I love the words of the Apostle Paul because he makes it personal. Galatians 2:20, the Son of God, he loved me. He gave himself for me. And though there was not another sinner in the world but Jonathan Black, he loved me and he gave himself for me. That's the wonder of the cross, that the Lord Jesus Christ, I cannot measure his love, for I would have to measure how much he suffered, and I cannot tell how much he suffered. The hymn writer from Ireland wrote these words, "We do not know, we cannot tell, what pains he had to bear. But this we do know, upon the cross he hung and suffered there." You know, God doesn't ask you to understand. But what he does ask you is to accept the person. Because I want to tell you, upon that cross, the Lord Jesus Christ said a number of very important things. The first thing upon that cross the Lord Jesus said was this. He prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." A prayer of forgiveness. You know, there's forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Through this man is preached unto you and you the forgiveness of sins. And upon that cross he said to a dying thief who had lived a criminal and sinful life, is there salvation for him? Of course, there's salvation for everyone who comes to Christ. He's never turned anyone away. Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. The Lord Jesus said, do you think he said to him, you need to go and attend a church? That wouldn't be much use when you're impaled on a Roman cross. Do you think he said to him, you'll need to put up your hand? Not much use when your hands are nailed to a cross. Do you think he said to him, you need to go and be baptized? There wasn't much hope of that. If salvation depended on baptism, there was no hope for the dying thief. No, the Lord said to him this. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. He saved him. Why? Because he repented from his sin and he put his faith in the man on the cross, the center cross. You know, salvation's the same for you and for me. It's turning from our sin. He said to the Lord Jesus, we indeed justly receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. But he knew that this man was no ordinary man. Why? Because he heard him pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What did that tell me about the man on the cross? It tells me that he's the Son of God, because he prayed to his Father in heaven. The two men on either crosses were sons, but this son was different. He's the Son of God. And that's what's bound up in this lovely verse, John 3:36. It's all about the Son. Now you see, when you and I think about a son, we think of a son that's born, but not with the Lord Jesus, because he's eternal, the Son of God. But when we think of him as the Son, we're thinking of his likeness with his Father. We're thinking of the Father's love to his Son. That's what it says. The Father loveth the Son and has given all things into his hands. When we think of the Son of God, we're thinking of the trust that the Father had in the Son. He said of his Son, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know, my Father might have been pleased with me sometimes, but he couldn't be pleased with me all the times. There are some days I annoyed my Father, and he had to chasten me, but never the Son of God. He always pleased his Father. Why? Because he is the sinless Son of God. Like his Father, like the Spirit, holy, holy, holy. I wonder tonight, are we just losing sight of the absolute holiness of God. Listen, holiness is not found in a building. Holiness is not found in robes. Holiness is not found on a cross on the wall. Holiness is alone found in the God of heaven, who made everything. And therefore the Son of God is holy. That means this, that he cannot look upon sin. Sin is abhorrent to him. Where does that leave you and me? Because we're nothing but wretched sinners. What must God think as he looks at the sin in my life? He turns away. No. Do you know what the Bible says? He loves me. Well, he doesn't love my sin, but he does love the sinner. And God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's why your only hope to get right with God is in his Son. Why? Because he's the only one who ever pleased God. So he's the only one through whom God can accept you. You can't come yourself. You're a sinner. But if you come through the Son, God will accept you. Why? Because the Son is sinless and he died for your sins on the cross. Now listen, you cannot get to heaven without the Son of God. You see, the more people I talk to about that stumble over the matter of salvation, do you know what usually the big problem is? Now you listen to this. The big problem with most people about their salvation is this. They get all occupied with themselves. Now, you need to acknowledge that you're a sinner. But you don't go through life just thinking, I'm a sinner, and that's it. No. Repentance is turning from your sins, yes. But it's turning to the Son of God, because he's the one who saves. Now, did you get that? Listen to this. Now, this is the great division. It will divide eternity. It will divide time. It divides families, homes. It probably divides this room. He that believeth on the Son, he that believeth not the Son. Now, that's a clear division. You're on one side or the other. He that believeth on the Son. See, there's many people, and they're trying to get to heaven through believing on themselves. They think, I'll do enough. I'll believe enough. It's not your believing that will take you to heaven. Sure, it says he that believeth on the Son. If it just said he that believeth, we wouldn't know what we were believing. But it's he that believeth on the Son. Why? Because it was the Son who was on the cross for you. I can't put it any simpler. It's faith on the Son that will give you eternal life. And that will make you right with God. That's the great division. And he that believeth not the Son. Now, did you notice it says he that believeth not the Son? It doesn't say he that believeth not on the Son. You see, if you're not prepared to accept the Son of God as your Savior, what in effect you're saying is this: I don't believe God. I don't believe what he says. I don't believe that Jesus Christ died for me. I don't believe that as a sinner, if I died now, I would be in hell. Listen, if you really believe that tonight, if the Lord returned and you would be left behind, or if you died and you would be in hell, I tell you, you would put your faith in the Son without delay. Too many people just are looking inward to themselves and thinking of about themselves and thinking about what they're going to do, thinking about what they're going to believe, thinking about all that they are before God. Listen, for once and for all, realize that all that we are before God are sinners without hope. And the only hope for us is the Son of God. So it's about time you trusted him. I'll tell you another reason why you need to trust the Son, because you see all those sins that are taking you down to hell and that are such a burden. You know, sin brings with it guilt. Let's not be kidding ourselves now. Every one of us has guilt and shame. But the worst thing is that we're guilty before God. But upon the cross, all those sins of yours were taken and laid upon his Son. Now, if they were laid upon his Son on the cross, why would you not just leave them where God has placed them and walk away free? Oh, but you need to trust the Son. You need to believe on the Son. And the Bible says, here's the difference. You will have eternal life. Why? Because God says so. The Bible says it, and I believe it. You see, many people are looking for feelings. And I got up this morning and I feel saved. But tonight, you know, I'm not sure where I am because I don't feel so good. I didn't live a very good life today. Listen, your salvation is not based on how good a life you live. If that was the case, where would any of us be? Our salvation is not based on the life that we live. It's based on the death that Christ died. See, we're back at the cross and on the Son. Therefore, as long as you look for feelings and flashing lights and somebody to come along and put their arms round you and tell you, you're saved. Not at all. Isn't it far better tonight that God tells you you're saved, not me? You say, how does God tell me that I'm saved? Well, that's what the verse says. It's the word of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Are you not prepared to accept the word of God? Or is the big problem that you don't believe that this is the word of God? Listen, until you do, you'll never have assurance of salvation. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Now I finish with the danger. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, no hope, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You see, my friend, God cannot sweep sin under the carpet. And if you don't know what that means, what I'm saying simply is this. God cannot ignore your sin or mine. He can't do it. Just say that you committed an offense and went up before a judge in Oxford. And he said to you, listen, I see your crime. I see that you're guilty, but you know, I'm in a good mood and I'll just let you go home. Forget about it. What would you say about that judge? You might walk out a bit relieved, but you would say, well, that judge is not just. He doesn't have much of a clue about what is right and wrong. Listen, your judge is not a judge in a court in Oxford who is possible to get it wrong. Even the highest judge in the land, the judge of all the earth is in heaven. And God has appointed a day in which he will judge this world through that man which he has set forth, even Jesus Christ, by whom he has given assurance unto all men in that he has raised him from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees that every single person on this planet will face the judgment of God. And you will either face the judgment of God in your sins, or tonight, if you're saved, there is a judgment for Christians, but it's not for their sins, it's for their service. Mind you, every person here who's a Christian tonight and who's saved, could I just say something? After the Lord returns, you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and have to account for how you've spent your life in service. As our brother has said, God doesn't save us just to be in dream world. He saves us to serve. But oh, if you land at the judgment of the great white throne, it's too late. You had opportunity. But it says, my spirit shall not always or forever strive with man. There's coming a day, dear friend, when the opportunity will end. That's why tonight we ask you to think about the Son, the lovely Son of God. You know, there was a very wealthy art collector and his son. They collected paintings and they collected famous artworks by very famous artists like Leonardo da Vinci and others. And the man's son had to go and fight in the war. And he waved him goodbye. And away he went. And you know, in the course of his fighting, he was killed in action. He saved another soldier's life, but he lost his own life. And the news came home to his father, and he was grief-stricken, so sad. His son had perished. About 3 months later, there was a knock came to the door of the house, and a young soldier stood at the door. He said, "I'm the soldier that your son died for on the battlefield." And he said, "I have something for you." And he says, I hope that you'll value it." And the man brought in the parcel and unwrapped it. And this young soldier had painted a picture of his son, the man who had died for him in battle. And the man looked at it, and he was overjoyed. He wept as he looked at the likeness of his son. It was so real. And you know, he put it above his fireplace, and everybody who came into the house, he said, "That's my son." And the young man who painted that picture, "My son saved him on the battlefield." But you know, the old man died. And his art collection was to be auctioned off, all these great paintings. And the crowds gathered one day. And people were excited to bid for all these paintings, to try and get one of these great paintings worth so much money. And the auctioneer lifted his hammer. And the first thing he did is he said, "Now, ladies and gentlemen, the first painting that we want to auction is the painting of the Son." And they all looked at it, disappointed. They said, "We want to bid on the great paintings. We're not interested. We didn't come here for this. Hurry up." And he said, "What am I bid for this picture? Anybody bid me £10? And they were all getting angry. They wanted the auction to go on. "Anybody bid me £20? No bids. And then a hand went up from the back of the room. It was the gardener of the man's estate. He said, "I'll give you £30 for the picture of his son." And the auctioneer brought down his hammer. The auction's finished. The people were mesmerized. They were angry. The auctioneer said, "This old man left in his will the order that whoever bought the picture of his son gets everything." And the gardener not only got the picture of the son, but he got the whole inheritance and he got the whole estate. See, my friend, this is where we stand tonight. It's not an auction. It's a free gift that's available to you. But I wonder, are you going to accept God's son? Or is he not good enough? Well, understand this. It's only through having the Son and believing on the Son that you get everything else. You want assurance of salvation? You need the Son. You want to be sure you're going to heaven? You need the Son. You want to have the guilt of sin removed? You must accept the Son. You want to serve God and live a fruitful life? You have to have the Son. You want to escape the flames of hell? You must accept the Son. You want to be called a Christian? You can't take that name upon yourself unless you accept God's beloved Son. It's all in the Son. Whosoever believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son, you get nothing. shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Put your faith on the Son tonight, and you'll be saved for time and for eternity. Let us pray.